Let us open the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Again, the sermon is not about Thanksgiving. You know, church, as a pastor, you need to make some decisions in life. If you let culture dictate what we're going to preach, we're going to preach about everything. There is the day of this, there is the day of that, there is the other day, and all the celebration. At the end of the day, you're everywhere. So I stick with what we have been preaching. We started this journey looking the life of our Lord Jesus chronologically. We started it when we started in the Christmas season a couple of years ago. And now we are in the midst of his journey, and he just sent his apostles. For 1 year, the apostles learned from him. Now he's putting their feet on the water. That's the way we say in English. You need to put your feet on the water. You need to do things. You need to get some experience. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Let us read the first verse, and we're going to pray. Look at how nice your Lord is. Can you be thankful for your Lord? Say amen. Now you're about to hear his loving words to you. Pay attention. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Isn't that nice? Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as the dove. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, our desire, it is to know who you are. And we ask, Lord, enlightenment, understanding of your word. May we leave this building today looking more like you. And following your footsteps. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us recap this, church. We are in the third sermon about local missions. Where did this start, church? It started when Jesus went to Nazareth. He did everything for Nazareth, and Nazareth closed the door. I'm better than your miracles. I know better than you. You stay away. Turn your back. Do you remember that? As soon as Nazareth closed the door to Jesus' ministry, he turns away. He doesn't waste his time. You guys don't want it? Good. I'm gone. And what does he do? He gathers his disciples. Guys, you just saw the rejection. The guys, what did they do? We saw it. Okay, now I'm sending you. You go. Guess what's going to happen to you? Some going to accept. Some is going to reject. And you guys going to feel what ministry looks like. Are you following me? Do you remember that? Yeah? You remember? Then we went for the very first sermon. Jesus laid the agenda of the church. As you go as a church, you have a mission. This is not a clan. This is not consumer. You're not paying a fee to stay here. You have a job. Say amen. You gotta go out. Say amen. We gotta fill this house. Say amen. Do you remember that, right? That's the agenda. Second sermon, he gave us instructions. Never do ministry alone. Go with people, teamwork. There is provision. Don't worry. Move on when the doors are closed. Take advantages when the doors are open. And as soon as he says, move on when the doors are closed, we fall in the third part of this sermon, which is our next slide. Local missions, today we're going to talk about something very good. Thanksgiving. Tasty like turkey dinner. Persecution. Resistance. That's what we're going to talk about. That's why he starts verse 16. And here I see three great characteristics of Jesus Christ. Church, as a leader, and I try to apply this for my life. He is transparent. There will be persecution. There will be resistance. There will be doors closed. He gives them a heads up. That's what we're going to see. When this happens, do this. When that happens, do that. We are about to see it. And Jesus is realistic. He doesn't pretend things are not happening. There will be persecution. There will be resistance. Therefore, be ready. So I always try to be like that. I like to be realistic. I like to be transparent. And I always like to give heads up. Guys, if we don't do this, that's going to happen. We got to understand this. We got to understand our world. So on and so forth. Those are things I always try to apply for myself. And I see these in verse 16. And we can move. And we're going to read now verse 17. We're going to go for the very first point of the sermon. But before we go there, church, I have a question for you. Do you find it easy to be as shrewd like the serpent and at the same time being as pure like the dove? Do you think that's easy for you? Because I'm going to tell you about myself. When I am shrewd like the serpent, I am shrewd like the serpent. I'm not pure like the dove. I mean, when I am pure like the dove, I am very naive. You're going to take all advantage of me. You're going to step on me like I am the doormat. Because I can't be as pure like the dove and as shrewd like the serpent at the same time. I find this a very hard task. And I also want to, I want you to answer that question. Can you be shrewd like the serpent and pure like the dove both at the same time? I leave you up with that question. So, verse 17 to verse 20, church, let us read with your Bible open, and we're going to tackle this first point of the sermon. But be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Church, the first kind of persecution we often suffer, it is both religious and political. As soon as you read verse 17, talks about council, synagogues inside the church, religion, governors, kings, Gentiles outside the church, politics. These two persecutions happen. Okay? Historically speaking, church, as soon as Jesus sent his disciples to this mission, this never happened. A couple of weeks from here, we will see the result of this mission. It was a good mission. People were very receptive. Everything went well. However, in the very first century of the history of the church, you know we faced persecution. When you read the book of Acts, you will see persecution. All the apostles died for the sake of their faith. All of them. but one, John, the apostle who wrote the book of Revelation. But he wrote that book because he was in an island, punished, outcast from the world just for being Christian. So all these men, even though they didn't face this in this first mission, later they faced such a persecution, both religious, both politically. If you talk about Jesus, and that's why I have the cross there for us, how did Jesus get crucified, church? A charge that it's political, a charge that is religious. The Jewish people took Jesus. We don't believe you are the Son of God. We don't believe you can forgive sins. We don't believe in your miracles. We don't agree with the statement, I will crush the temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. We can get that. Therefore, we are taking you to the cross. But they have no power to crucify. So what do? They call the Romans. Pontius Pilate, we need your hand. Now Pontius Pilate gets Jesus. Jesus, you claim to be the king. I am the governor. I'm under Caesar. If you claim to be a king, you are threatening my job. You are threatening my people. You are threatening Caesar. Therefore, charge against Jesus, what it is? Crucifixion. Both claims, both charges, religious and political in Jesus. Why is Jesus giving them their heads up? Jesus knows people uses religious claims, political claim to do mean things. How does that apply to us today, church? Are you persecuted politically? Do you have the freedom to choose your party, yes or yes? If you don't want to vote, you don't want to vote. Yes or yes? You're not. I'm not. We have some debates in the church, yes or yes? Where are my Sunday school people? Praise God. Why are you laughing, Leo? We do, okay? We suffer a low-key persecution. Low-key. And I have a few statements here for us. This is all social things, okay, church? This is all ideology. They are not political. But pay attention. If we ever say marriage is between a man and a woman, we are called homophobic. If we say man is the head of the house, we are called sexist. Sometimes even inside the church, not just socially. Okay? If we ever say Jesus is the only way to God, we are called intolerant, narrow-minded, old-fashioned. All of these accusations against us, they are social, they are ideological, they are not political. Nevertheless, if somebody wants to be mean, they can. Some people lose their jobs for certain claims like those. Some people lose their job if they don't put a pride flag on their table. Do you know that? So, it's a low key. It's not too harsh, not too explicit, but it happens. If you apply a job and you say you're an outspoken Christian, most likely that company is not going to take you, even though you're the best candidate. Because as soon as you say, I'm a Christian, that's what they think you are. So, let us move on. So you see, those are things are social, but they affect you in other areas of your life. And that's something Jesus is warning us here as his disciples. Moving forward, we can go to our helper, the Holy Spirit. Church, when you see verse 20 and verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not worry." Do not worry to be in an environment that there is low-key persecution. Do not worry to be in an environment there is high-stakes religious and political persecution. Do not worry. Why? You have a lawyer. You have an attorney. You have a helper, the Holy Spirit. At that time, he will tell you what to say. On that time, he will defend you. What does that mean? What does that mean? First of all, it does not mean the Holy Spirit is going to put a suit and he's going to come and be your attorney. No, that's not what it means. Secondly, that doesn't mean that everything people claim against you and they try to take your job and they try to sue you, that you are exempt of those things. If they lawsuit you under the claim you're a homophobic, $1 million lawsuit, don't worry, God will defend you, and at the end you're going to get $2 million instead. Instead of paying $1 million, you're going to get $2 million. No, that's not what the Bible is teaching when the Bible says the Holy Spirit has your back. That's not what the Bible is teaching. What does the Bible is teaching is very practical, church. And there is more to do with you than with him. This is a good spot for amen. You guys are ready for what I'm going to say? There is a lot to do with you, not with him. He is going to protect you. He already said what his job is. It's more to do with you and with me. What is Jesus saying here, church? That day after day as you read the Bible, day, Sunday after Sunday as you come to church, Sunday school after Sunday school as you learn, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And therefore, you become wise, filled with his words, to face such situations. You will know when to speak back. You will know when to remain silent. You will know how to witness without being offensive, without being accusing. You will know when that time comes. Why? The deposit of the Word of God in you by the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit give you such wisdom. As you read the world outside, as you read your government, as you read all the ideologies, you relate with it from a godly Christian perspective. That's what the Bible is saying. So you need to be filled with the Word of God. Say amen, please. You need not to isolate, live like, I don't know what's going on in Ottawa. I don't know what's going on in the schools. I just live here in my own world, my Christian bubble. You can't do that. You need to know what's going on so that you have words to say as you witness, as you stand firm in your faith. Was I clear? That's what it means, being shrewd like the serpent, being pure like the dove. With that being said, Let us see the second point of persecution here Jesus is going to talk about. Verse 21. Brother will betray brother to death and the father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. The second point of this sermon is, wow, that's a little bit tiny, but I can read for you. Persecution at home and socially. Church, again, clearly, brother against brother, child against parents. This is talking about home. Persecution, resistance inside the house. And when the Bible says in verse 22, all men will hate you. Repeat with me, all men. That talks about society, church. Please understand what Jesus is saying. No, people will not hate you just because you're a Christian. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. If you're a good person, if you're nice, if you give a smile, if you say good morning, good evening, if you know, if you have good diplomacy, you're going to have a good relationship with people. It's not because you're Christians that people hate you. That's not what Jesus means. When he says, oh, going to hate you, it's a hyperbole talking about society. Society in general will go against God. Society in darkness will always get confused when light comes. We always resist morality. That's what Jesus is saying. So don't misquote Jesus here. If you are a person who is, you know, educated, treat people nice, have good relationships with the outsiders, they will not going to hate you. You guys going to have a very good relationship. And that's a great witnesses, by the way, that that's who we are. Christians are good citizens. That's a good spot for amen. Christians are peacemakers. Christians are salt and light to the world. Even those who hate us, we love them. We treat them well. We give them dignity. Dignity. We treat them well. So, now that we understand what Jesus is saying when he says, all men will hate you, he's talking about society in general, let us tackle this. Church, you will never understand verse 21 like these guys understand verse 21. Never. Our Western society, it's individualistic. What am I saying? I become a father. I take my kids to church every Sunday. When my kids become 18 years old, they work at McDonald's and they make a little bit of money. Just a little bit of money. They buy a nice car. They go to university. And then they look at me. What are they going to say? Dad, thank you for everything you have taught me. Now I'm on my own. Now I don't want to go to church. Now I want to do life my own. Right? That's the society. What am I going to do as a parent? Am I going to kill my kid just because he's not coming to my church? No or no? Hugo said thumbs up. You're never going to do that. Am I going to cut my kid out of their inheritance just because he doesn't have the same beliefs as I do? No or no? Is he still welcome to come to Thanksgiving dinner, even though he has a different religion than I? Yes or yes? If I do something different, you guys are going to say, shame on me. Yes or yes? Right? You're not a good parent, Gustavo. That's the way we see the world. Okay? That's not the way the Middle Eastern people see the world. That's not. Raise your hand if you know this word, marriage. Church, when someone in the Middle East says no to their religion, it's like divorcing. My son, in my house, for you to be my kid, for you to have my name, for you to have my inheritance, you need to have my religion. Those things are not separate. It's like marriage. If you separate, it's divorce. You go on your way. You are no longer my kid. That's the way they see the world. Not individualistic. You are in a context, and that context has family, that context has legacy, that context has community, and that context has religion, which is not an option, which is something like marriage. By the way, I don't know if you know, this book we hold is divided in two testaments. Old and new. That's the same idea. This is a covenant. Right? We think spirituality is optional thing. Just like choosing ice cream, pistachio, or chocolate. This book is a covenant. Religion touches all the areas of our lives. That's the Middle Eastern understanding of religion. So as soon somebody says, Jesus is the Lord, Allah is not the Lord, what happens? Out of the family. Out of your country. Go be refugee in Canada. Canada is open doors. We are sending you to Canada. In here, you will not have another religion. And they are outcast from their family and their society. Just say amen if you understand that. Completely two different perspectives. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So, in a Western society, we also have some difficulties in our families. If you have a spouse, one is a Christian, the other is not, there will be resistance. If your kids are Christian and your parents are not, there will be resistance. We also suffer and struggle with those things. I'm very sure you have families, relatives, that the family doesn't hold the same beliefs, and therefore there is resistance. So we also, again, we suffer those things in a low key. That's our social dilemma. That's our struggle. What does Jesus teach us here? Stands firm. Yes, when the parent see his kids not following Christ, it hurts. Stand firm. Keep praying. Keep preaching. Keep witnessing. When the spouse knows Christ and the other spouse resists, doesn't come to church, is against church, stand firm. Keep witnessing. Keep being the godly person Jesus has called you to be. Keep doing what you know you need to do. And that leads us to the third point, church. And here is something that you rarely sees a preacher preaching to you. I know. Persecution is our badge of honor, church. I know implied in our society there is a commandment. Thou shalt be nice. Do you know that commandment? Thou shalt be nice. Be nice. That's what we want, right? That's our badge of honor. Persecution is our badge of honor according to Jesus. Before we go there, church, let us just see here, verse 23. Jesus is going to talk about his second coming very quickly. It's like a sandwich. In the middle of everything, he gives us the hope that he's coming back. I tell you the truth. This is verse 23. I tell you the truth. You will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. What is Jesus saying, church? Simply, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are fewer. You will never get the job done. You will work, and you will work, and you will preach the gospel, and you will witness, and you pursue righteousness until the day you die. Or until the day he comes back, whichever happens first. That's what Jesus is saying. As you do the work, he's coming. He's coming. I'm going to say he's coming again so you say amen. He is coming. As you do the work. So, as we have that hope and the commandment to do the job, let us see our badge of honor, church. Verse 24. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Jesus is saying, guys, if they called me demon-possessed, and I am your master, and I am your Lord, how much more do you think they're going to call you? They will call you the same things. And when you see this in a context, church, the dream job of a Brazilian guy, it is to be a soccer player. That's our dream job. The dream job of a Jewish kid was to become a rabbi. I want to be like my rabbi. So, you know, the kids would study like crazy. They would spend their whole day with the rabbi. No family, no soccer, no video games. All I'm doing, I'm close to my rabbi. I want to sound like my rabbi. I want to be quiet like my rabbi. I want to preach from where my rabbi is preaching from. I am from the denomination where my rabbi goes from the denomination. It was their dream. Jesus adds something here. How about in this pursuit to become like the rabbi, how about persecution? How about people resisting you? Because they're resisting me. if they don't resist you, you don't look like me as you think you do. I'm going to put this in an illustration for you, church. We don't think those things as a badge of honor. We do think about those things as annoying. It's annoying when people resist you. It's annoying when people persecute you. Yes or no? It's annoying. Pay attention. Illustration for you. This man, he is one of the most hated preachers of Canada. Okay? And another preacher came to him and said, you know what? You're putting yourself to the spot. You're exposing yourself. Don't do that. I see all kinds of things they talk about you. And then the preacher said, you know what? That's true. Put my name on the Google. And both of them put their names in Google. Okay. All bad things. Homophobic, blah, blah, blah. All of them. Then he said, put your name, please, in the Google. He puts the other name in Google. Nothing. And he looked at him, you know what? If they're saying bad things about me, I look more like Jesus than you. Because they commend you for being quiet, for being nice. Accept the status quo. You guys can do whatever you want. Society can go downhill. You guys can keep going on your sin and eventually going to hell. And I am quiet. Because I don't want people to talk about me. That's the day as a preacher I want to be worried. I see things going downhill. And I didn't say anything. And I didn't give them a warning. And I didn't confront sin. At the end of the day, our badge of honor becomes our thermometer. If my light doesn't shine darkness in the world, that means, as a thermometer, my light is not that bright. If my salt doesn't make people thirsty for Jesus, that means my salt is not that salty. But that's not what we want. Let us be honest. Who wants to have a resistance against you? Be honest. Who wants that every word you say, claim you say, you need to explain and explain and explain? Who wants it? Then what do we do? You do you. We do we. We wash our hands. And we go our way. When those things should be our badge of honor. Because they did that to our Lord. Therefore, we look like our Lord. Therefore, we stand standing firm like our Lord standing firm. Amen. A lot to chew, right? A lot to chew. Before you stand up, I do want to pray a prayer. And let me have the opportunity to ask forgiveness. As the evangelical church in Canada, sometimes we see our society going a way we wouldn't like it to go because we didn't speak up. Right? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we want to take this sermon and these words, verse 24 and verse 25. A student must strive to be like the master. If they resisted you because you speak the truth in love, if they crucified you because the truth was so clear, so lively, so loud, that the only way they could silence it was by crucifying you, which, by the way, they couldn't do. Lord, I pray forgiveness, starting with me as a Christian, as a pastor. And I speak and I pray on the behalf of my fellows in Canada, Lord. When we chose a silence instead of speaking the truth because we were a little bit afraid of persecution and resistance, Lord. I am sorry, Lord. Forgive us for having chosen the wrong badge of honor when we should be choosing you and being like you, even though there will be resistance and persecution, even though I pray we turn our ways in this Thanksgiving weekend and we choose to stand firm, we choose to witness in love, we choose to be shrewd like the serpent and pure as a dove. And we choose that our light and our salt will shine out, will season this world. They will resist. Amen. But that's going to be our badge of honor, Lord. We love them. We want them to know you. We want them to be saved. We want all but good things for them. In Jesus' name, amen.